Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Well, Lebanon's health ministry says 558 people have been killed, including 50 children, they say, in Israeli strikes since Monday, which was the deadliest day in Lebanon since the end of the civil war in 1990. The Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said that the security situation has been kept under constant review, and countries contributing to the UNIFIL operation have discussed a number of scenarios. Well, shortly before coming on air, I spoke with the Minister of State with responsibility for EU affairs and defence, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, who joined me from Brussels. I began by asking the Minister what was being done on an EU level to stop the conflict.
We are all the time working at European level to try to call for and give effect to an immediate ceasefire, the release of all hostages and a massive scale up of humanitarian aid into Gaza. That has what we have always wanted to be our focus in the European Council meeting. Of course, the escalating violence makes this much more difficult. And the Irish government, along with every partner here, has called for calm and restraint and for de-escalation on all sides.
And apart from calls, is there any action proposed by the European Union?
Well, the action proposed by the European Union is to try to de-escalate a situation and to use every tool of diplomacy and foreign policy available
what
to the European
tools?
Union. But as is the case with the wider conflict already in the Middle East, you know, Ireland has tried to be an effective actor to try to get an immediate ceasefire from the earliest stages. And it has taken some time to reach a common European position on that. But really, at this stage, when innocent civilians are being threatened, are being killed, are being injured, are being hurt, the overwhelming call, all that we can do in that context, is call for an immediate de-escalation.
Okay.
As I know the Taoiseach and Taoiseach are doing in New York as well.
And they spoke of the Irish soldiers who are currently based near the southern border of Lebanon, near Israel, for the UN peacekeeping mission UNIFIL as well. Are you in daily contact, or is the government in daily contact with those soldiers?
Yes, the government is being continually updated on the soldiers. We have 382 personnel there between soldiers and supporting staff. We are, of course, concerned about them. They have been operating there for a very long time under pressure since last October, and they are, you know, and we are of course very concerned for them. But they are very professional soldiers who have been well trained.
Are they in danger?
Well, I mean, the whole region is in a very difficult situation. There is no question about that. So we are in constant communication about their well-being. Our focus, of course, is on their family and wider extended family, and that the arrangements are there to maintain that link, of course, between the defence forces and families. And really, it's, again, the government echoes the sentiments of UNIFIL, the soldiers themselves, who would implore all parties to cease their fire and anybody with influence in the region to urge restraint.
And in the event of a ground invasion by Israel of that southern Lebanon area where the Irish soldiers are, what's the contingency plan?
I think it's too soon to discuss that, and of course that's a matter for the, you know, for the defence forces and for the department at a different stage. Right now what we're concerned about is, of course, that our defence forces are excellent representatives there, continue to do their work, continue to maintain the operations that they can maintain within the safety constraints that are there, of course.
I understand, but how could it be too soon when the war is ongoing?
It simply is too soon for me to comment on that. And what we're focused on is their well-being. And we're also focused on Irish citizens in Lebanon, urging them, as we have been doing for nearly a year, to leave the region by any means possible, including there are a number of commercial options still available. And we are working to support anybody trying
respect,
to leave.
Minister, the situation of a contingency goes to the heart of their well-being. Surely.
That's right. That's right, Cormac. And it's also important that I don't comment on that in an escalating situation on the radio, if you'll forgive me. What's important is that they are being kept, that we're in constant communication. They are well-trained professional soldiers who have been dealing with a lot of conflict for a very considerable time and who have been taking appropriate measures to protect themselves while continuing their mission to the best of their ability.
But
we must respect the fact that they're doing that.
I understand. You don't want to talk about it, but the Taoiseach has said there's a possibility that areas of Lebanon in which Irish peacekeepers operate could be targeted by Israeli Defence Force missiles. So the Taoiseach has been discussing the possibility that that could happen. But you say it's too soon to discuss any type of contingency.
It's certainly on the radar. There are robust force protection measures in place always to ensure the safety and the security of our personnel. And those measures are continually reviewed, but it's not necessary for me, if you'll forgive me, to outline them on the radio. That is a matter for Lieutenant Colonel Tom Fox and the Tánaiste and the Defence Forces themselves. But there are measures in place to protect our personnel, as there have been up to this date.
We're watching, and it's been remarked on in the Dáil as well, the exodus from southern Lebanon as well, given the warnings from the IDF and Israel for ordinary civilians to leave the area. The Dáil has been hearing from the opposition regarding the use of Irish airspace for the transport of weapons to Israel. We've discussed this previously. Our conversation, it's been confirmed that 9 flights carrying such munitions have entered Irish airspace. So I might return to the question I was asking you then, in the event that some flights would be confirmed. What are the consequences?
Well, I'll take a step back. You're right that the 9 civil aircraft operations did enter sovereign airspace, but what we're not clear about is what is on board those flights. And the department is working to confirm the accuracy of those reports about whether there were, in fact, munitions or otherwise. So we don't have a definitively clear position on whether the cargo would have required the granting of an exemption by the minister. And the Department of Transport continues to work on that. And as I said, I'm perfectly happy to come back to talk to you about that in detail once that has been established.
Okay, so you're saying it's still possible that those. Just to be absolutely clear, it's quite interesting what you say. You're saying, despite reports that we've read, it's possible that they were not carrying weapons for Israel.
What I'm saying is that we have confirmed that the Department of Transport has verified that 9 civil aircraft operations did enter Irish sovereign airspace, but what is not confirmed is what was on those. And until that is confirmed by the Department of Transport's investigation, I really can't comment on any next stage, which is what would happen in the event of munitions having been carried without a ministerial exemption. So it is important that we establish those facts. As I said the last time, part of those facts have been established. There is a next phase to be sure or to understand what, if anything, was carried on those, or what, if anything, that would be in contrary to the rules in relation to the exemption was carried on those aircraft. And as soon as we do that and a report is provided to the Taoiseach, I'm more than happy to come back to you on that.
Because People Before Profit TD Paul Murphy has called on the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste with regard to what's happening in Gaza and with regard to what's happening in southern Lebanon. He said the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste should demand that the US stops supplying arms to Israel, which he said were being used to conduct war crimes. Would you agree?
Paul Murphy, I think, and everybody in the Dáil would all benefit from establishing the facts in relation to this and complying with our own rules and making sure that we have established the facts first before we have any additional reactions.
Yeah, not in relation to the Irish airspace question now.
The Taoiseach and Tánaiste are in the United Nations today discussing the urgent situation in the Middle East, as we have been doing. And while there is this dialogue in the Dáil, let us remember that internationally, Ireland is one of the absolute leaders in terms of trying to stop the conflict in the Middle East, protect the people of Gaza, open up the humanitarian corridor. We are one of the leading funders, both in proportional terms and in absolute terms, to UNRWA. We have always been UNRWA's first port of call. Indeed, myself, I was in a call with Samantha Power in the earliest days of the conflict about a humanitarian corridor and pledging additional funding to UNRWA way beyond what our partners were doing. Mm-hmm. So Ireland is at the front of trying to protect civilians, open humanitarian corridors, provide humanitarian assistance. We are one of the leading funders in relation to
this. Without question. What is wrong with agreeing with what Paul Murphy has said? US, stop supplying arms to Israel, because it's quite possible, in his view, that there are war crimes going on. We see the rising death toll in Gaza and in southern Lebanon. Why not just agree with it?
We work through the international systems. It is very clear that the International Court of Justice has very strong views about what needs to happen in Israel. It is very clear that the International Criminal Court has very strong views about what is happening in Israel. And Ireland and the Irish government will work through those mechanisms and not in response to calls by Paul Murphy. And the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste are working at the UN General Assembly with all of their partners to try to de-escalate conflict.
Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill, thank you very much indeed. I'm joined now by UNIFIL spokesperson in Lebanon, Andrea Tananti. Andrea Tananti, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hi, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us from Lebanon. Are there currently any airstrikes or bombardment there?
Yes, there are still heavy shelling throughout the head of operation of UNIFIL in South Lebanon. And not only there, there's also a strike earlier in Beirut, but the shelling has been almost non-stop since yesterday, more than, I would say, 24 or 48 hours right now, and has been the heaviest shelling that we have monitored since the hostilities started in October. So this is a very concerning situation. More than 450 people have been killed, more than 1,200 have been injured. And just to put it into perspective, the 2006 conflict between Lebanon and the Oakley between Hezbollah and Israel had around 1,000 people killed. Only yesterday we had over 550. So very, very concerning. And de-escalation is key for all of us. And of course, the efforts of the mission are focusing on that.
And members of the 124th Infantry Battalion are based in Lebanon, as you heard us discuss with the minister there. And there are obviously concerns of about the safety of Irish troops, Irish soldiers there. What can you tell our listeners about their safety?
Well, security and safety of our peacekeepers is of paramount importance for the mission, for the United Nations. So at the moment, all the peacekeepers, including the Irish peacekeepers, are in their compounds inside the bases and in shelters when there are shellings for protections. It would not make sense to have troops on the ground during a bombardment because it would not change the overall situation. We do have, of course, the head of mission and force commander of UNIFIL, General Lazaro, who is in touch with the parties to try to mitigate the risk and also try to keep a channel of communications open with the parties to try to de-escalate the current tensions.
But if it continues to escalate, Andrea Tenenti, and yes, if there were to be, for example, a ground invasion by Israel, would that increase the risk?
Of course, the risk has always been there. And of course, if there is a situation when the mission won't be able to be operational anymore, or there are no conditions for the mission to be on the ground, the Security Council will need to decide.
But we still would evacuation be a possibility then?
Well, evacuation is always a possibility in any scenario, in any peacekeeping missions, for any international organizations. You always have evacuation plans ready. Doesn't mean that they will be implemented, because there is still space for political and diplomatic solutions. And we said all along, there is a solution. The solution is full implementation of Resolution 1701, the same resolution that was agreed in 2006 and put into force in 2006 and was able to stop the war in 2006. Mm-hmm. The main provision of 1701s are still valid there. Both countries are still saying that that they are supporting 1701, but we need the implementation, we need commitment. So the answer is there, the solution is there, but we need a full commitment from the parties in
indeed.
Order to stop the conflict.
So UN Resolution 1701 is there, and there are US calls as well, and EU calls, you heard from Minister Jennifer Carol McNeill, to de-escalate, to stop increasing airstrikes and bombardment, but it doesn't seem to be heard at this point. Would you say that it's that is being disregarded from both sides, or mostly from Israel?
Let's say that both parties, of course, have been in huge violations of several resolutions. So we are still hoping that that we could find not only the UN, of course, who is ready to provide assistance to any kind of agreement, but it's important for the international community to step forward and to talk to the parties in order to find solution. In these days, we have the General Assembly in New York, as you showed earlier, mm-hmm. and it just started today. The General Assembly will be a perfect forum for this discussion, okay, to have these bilateral meetings in order to de-escalate the tension and go back to a situation that we were living before October 2023, that the south of Lebanon after 2006 had lived one of its quietest period in recent histories, and there was 17 years. We need to go back to that, move forward, implement Resolution 1701, and try to see if there is space for a permanent ceasefire. But of course, it's a long way. We are still here. We are still awful, and we hope that a solution through all this mediation will take place and will materialize, because there is no military solution. And, and not only there is no military solution, this regional conflict will be catastrophic and there will be no winners.
Okay, well, let's hope that solution materializes, as you say. UNIFIL spokesperson in Lebanon, Andrea Tenenti, thank you very much.